I would like today for us to think about, and especially for young people, because I look back over my life and I wish I could have done, I wish I had done some things different. I'm thinking today about embracing God's law. I wish I could tell you that from a child I embraced it. From a child, it was just my greatest desire is to do exactly what the Bible said. It wasn't that way. I passed through some years in my teenage years where I rebelled against it. But I had some parents that, they had this, they were kind of some of the strange sort. They had this rule, if you live in our house, you abide by our laws. And their laws matched up with God's laws. So the things that they told me you're going to have to do, it pretty much matched up with what the Bible said anyhow. There were a few things I was able to slip by with, but not too much. But I was thinking of how valuable it is to embrace God's law. Because there was a time when, as a young person, I thought if I could just break loose from this restrictions in my life, if I can just grow up a little bit more where I can be on my own and nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, there have been saints' children that got that way. And they said, I want to get to the place that nobody can tell me what to do. So they joined the military. They said, if I can just get out of the house, I want to get out of the house and be on my own. So they joined the military. And I thought about that. You know what? There's no place that has more rules hardly than the military. And I remember my rebellious times, and it was the early 70s. And it was long hair was in. And these big, big sideburns. Well, some of those boys just wanted to break loose and be free. So they joined the military. You know, one of the first places you go when you join the military? Through the barber chair. And I remember one of the stories that came back from that. I mean, some of those boys, they could grow some beautiful sideburns. They had some big ones. And they said that the one boy, he went through there and the barber told him, said, as he knew he had groomed them well. And he said, do you want to keep these? He said, oh, yes, sir, I would love to. And so he cut them off and he handed them to him to where he could keep them. But this is where, from the rebellious stage, I want to be on my own. I want to break loose and be on my own. I want to tell you something. There will always be laws for us. Young people, you'll never get away from there being laws. There will be laws before you get to the blacktop. It's a stop sign that was made for society to be able to work together. Can you imagine if there were no laws for just driving? Don't worry about it. If you don't want to stop at the stoplight, don't worry about it. Stop signs, speed limits, all those things. Folks, they were all put in order for us to be able to get along fairly well together. And we can go along and say, I don't want these rules. I want to tell you, God created man. And he knew for man to dwell together, there's going to have to be some rules here. There's going to have to be some boundaries put in his life. So I want to talk to you this afternoon a little bit, to the young people especially. There is a blessing to the man that loves God's law. And I want to tell you also, I am so thankful. There was a time for a few years at home when I rebelled. Did not want mom and dad's law or God's law. I am so thankful before I left home that God was able to get to my heart. Because I want to tell you, it'll never do you well to only follow it because somebody else is saying you've got to do it. You're going to have to embrace it for it to have any benefit to God for you. I want to tell you about somebody that embraced it. It's in Psalms 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. To every one of us today, to the young people that are here today, you have choices that you'll be making. Your mom and dad, if you're still living at home, are helping you with those choices. They're telling you what you can and cannot do. But you know, really what they're trying to do is guide you to the point that when you step out on your own, you're able to make sound decisions. This person made some sound decisions. He walked not in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He did not sit in the seat of the scornful, but he had something he delighted in. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Delight is a strong word. It's not just, I've got to do it. It's there, so I've got to obey it. This delight moves into an area. There's another verse that says, I delight to do thy will, O God. It is what brings pleasure to me. This is the thing that I now desire. I am thankful that I moved from the area of mom and dad trying to head me in the right way and me rebelling against it until the time that it was in my heart. This is what I want to do. And I'd like to encourage the young people here today, wherever you are, if you happen to be one of those living at home, can't wait to bust free, I want to tell you there'll always be rules for your life. And it will do you well if you do like this man did. Make some decisions that take you in the right course. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Not just I read it on Sunday morning, but I think about it through the day. I measure my life by it. Am I coming up to its standard? Am I coming up short? And if I am, Lord, help me to be able to measure to it. I would like for us to look. There are some verses of a song. This is in 332. The Word of God says, more to be desired than honey sweet. Richer are its treasures far than gold. Like a brilliant light, it shines to guide my feet. Never grows its story old. Third verse says, thy eternal law is my delight. Strength and daily manna to my soul. 'Tis my meditation all the day and night. It's the balm to make the wounded whole. Oh, the precious Bible, counsel for the soul. I wish I was able to say all through my life that was my report right there. But I am so thankful it is today, because it's the guide that every one of us need. In this day and time that we're living in, when it seems like everything is out of control, it'll still be, blessed is the man that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law that he meditate day and night. It says, oh, the precious Bible, it's a counsel for the soul. It's the path of faithful saints and martyrs trod, settled in the heavens. You know what? There's a verse in Romans 3:3. It says, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. So it's just settled. Settled in the heavens, true while ages roll, changeless as the throne of God. So if we wanted to look in the Word of God and find out some things about the law of God, Psalms 119 is loaded with them. And I'd like to look at a few of those this afternoon. Psalms 119 and 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Sounds like that man in Psalms 1:1. It says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Then it goes on down in the 9th verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's not talking about a New Year's resolution. I need to do some things better. This is saying, how's he going to cleanse his way? Take heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. This is that man that it's his meditation day and night. I'm thinking about the law of the Lord. Those boundaries that God has put for us to be able to dwell together as a society. Those boundaries that we're throwing away and wondering why society is in the trouble that it's in today. Goes on down to 33 through 35. Teach me, O Lord, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Then I want to go to another one in Psalms 119 and 59. I thought on my ways. This is that man that is meditating. In his law doth he meditate day and night. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to thy testimonies. I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. Yesterday in service, we heard about the old salvation message. And you know what? It's not a popular message in the Christian world today. We are considered to be a Christian nation. But you know what? Not many people talk about deliverance from sin. It is what they'll talk about is that Christ's blood covers everything that I do. This one says, I thought on my ways, and I turned. I made a choice, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. The Bible teaches us that that's what salvation is all about, for me to make a turn. Proverbs 28 and 13 tells us, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But it gives us some rules for the ones that will have God's mercy on him. It says, but he that confesseth, and many people today are confessing. Many people today will say, I'm sorry for what I did yesterday. But this goes one step farther. But he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. This is the salvation message that the Bible gives us, the law that he has given us. Another scripture in Ezekiel, in the 36th chapter. 36 and 26, a promise to us. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you an heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you. And then I look at what he's going to do. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments. Now, we do still have a choice. He won't take it out of our hands and say, I'm going to make you do it. But if my desire is there, he will put things in place that helps me to be able to do it. And I'm thankful for that. These are the promises that the Lord gives us. I'll put my spirit in you. I'll cause you to walk in my statutes. Ye shall keep my judgments and do them. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's going to be a change. So to the young people, I want to tell you, we're getting a blending in America today. Christianity has almost no value to it. There's no change. But as we heard through this meeting so far, you're the salt of the earth. You can go out and calmly live the life. Do the Psalms 1 and 1. Forsake the things that are wrong. Meditate on the law of the Lord that will guide you in the right direction. It'll be the best example you can be to the world around us. I've thought for myself as I see sin around and them still claiming to be a Christian, how do I go about it? How do I tell them, you know what, no need to be praying for you eat if you're not living right. There's a lot of things you can say, but I tell you what, the first thing we need to do is live it. Be able to show by our example that there is deliverance in salvation. I was thinking about King David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan met up with him. David repented there, and Nathan told him, said, the Lord has forgiven your sin. But you know what? There is an old law that started with God. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That law of sowing and reaping came into effect with David. David could have said, look, I repented. Let's make it as if nothing has happened. I want good things in my life again. You remember what Nathan told him? This child's going to die. There's going to be some grief from this trouble that you've done. But almost more than that, there was something else that was going to come from it. It says, by this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. I want to tell you, our lives today, when we claim to be the real Christian, by us living lower than that standard, we'll do this very same thing today. Nothing has changed from David's time to our time. People know how a Christian should live. And especially when I go out and on my job and in places around, I profess it to be a higher standard. They're watching. They are watching the things I say. They're watching the things I do to see if I really live up to it. Should I fail to do that, this same testimony is to me. By this, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Obedience is so important. I'd like for us to go to Luke 6. This morning we heard some of Jesus' teaching. This also is some of his teaching. It says 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? When I claim to have the title of a Christian, I need to be adhering to the laws of God. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? God's desire is for me to think on my ways and make a turn. I'd like to go back to Psalms 119 and the 97th verse. It says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. It says, thou through my commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I think about the instruction we were given as children, how to live right. You know what? By continual living that way, by meditating on the law of the Lord, we increase. We go farther than what we were taught back then. It's intended to be that way, that I pass down to my children those things that I've been taught. As they take that, as they meditate on that, the Lord takes them. Because you know what we're living? We heard in the graduation talk the other day about technology, where it has gone. I remember as a child us going to a place, I believe it was called the Epcot Center out in California. It was like a science. They used to have this popular science magazine, and they would always be telling you about something they expect to have out in the future. And I would look at some of those things and say, there's no way that'll happen. Well, when I was a child, I think I was 7 years old, so that's 45 years ago, 50 years ago. They had a far-out dream. They said, the day's coming when with your telephone, you'll be able to see the person on the other end. And I just thought, oh, boy, that's a big old dream right there. Didn't think they could ever make it. Folks, we have made it there and more. Do you remember just a few years ago when you leave your house, say going to California to travel, nobody knows where you are until you'll stop at a phone somewhere and inform them? Or did you try to travel together on a long trip? You had to make arrangements before you left. Okay, if we get parted in this city, you stop and we call this common number, call back home. You tell them where you are and I'll stop and I'll call and tell them and we'll try to get back together again. Folks, that all seems ancient, doesn't it? Technology has gone a long ways. But you know what? The law of the Lord doesn't say I need to make an update on this for 2015, because it still works with the heart of man that has not changed over all these years. Technology can change, but you know what? Principles in the scripture will guide me through how I need to conduct myself with the smartphone just as well as it'll conduct way back there in the Old Testament when they didn't even have electricity. There is a principle involved. It's the law of God, that if I am honest in my heart, he will guide me. He will direct me. There's another song in number 333. It says, O precious Bible, this is our guide right here. Burning words from heaven, we'll ever cherish thee in our heart. Sweet is the counsel by thy pages given. On life's dark ocean, it's our only chart. It says, O precious volume, only in thy pages we read the duty of all our race. Only thy sunbeams shining through the ages reveal the wonders of saving grace. Says, dear book of mercy, on thy sure foundation. Folks, there's a lot of things shaking around us today, but the Bible is a good place to build. It'll be a solid foundation when the storms of life are coming to us. On thy sure foundation, we build a dwelling place for our soul. Hearing and doing all thy revelation, it'll stand unshaken though billows roll. Blessed Bible, blessed Bible, joyful tidings from our home. This morning we had the song, I believe, Ever Keep Heaven in View. This is the tidings from our home. Thou art the rock of everlasting ages, the hope of eternal bliss at heaven's throne. At the end of it all, by meditating on the Word of God and applying it to my life, I'll see heaven at the end. God's law. Thought about that. God himself wrote it with his own hand, gave us 10 commandments years ago. And today, for several years, in America, we have chosen to get rid of them. A while back at Oklahoma City, there's been 10 commandments posted on the White House, on the lawn there, the Capitol building lawn. And I started getting resistance about it being there. In fact, to the point that there are Satan worshipers that said, we will put a monument right next to it to worship Satan, because that's our God. But before they did that, somebody came along and solved the problem. They ran across the lawn and destroyed the Ten Commandments, crushed it all up. But you remember the verse that says, does the unbelief of some put a stop to it? Did running over it do anything to the Ten Commandments? Huh. It said, that song says, it'll stand unshaken though the billows roll. And we're trying to figure out what's happening in society. How is it that a young man that has no complaint against these children at a school can go in and kill 20 or 30 of them and have no feelings about it? You know, at my house I have fences that I put up. God has fences that he put up. For us to dwell together, there's got to be some boundaries for us. Built by God, respect that I have for another human being. And way back there on that mountain when God wrote it with his own hand, wrote the Ten Commandments, I was looking at those. You know what? Six of those Ten Commandments related to my working with my fellow man. There were only four of those that have to do with my dealing with God. Six of those with my fellow man: honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't bear false witness. Don't commit adultery. And don't covet. You know what? There's been a lot of explanation made over the years why some of these things matter or don't matter. But God's law still stands just as sure as it did on the day that he wrote it with his hand. It still stands the same. It has in there just a little old part that says, thou shalt not covet. Because when I start turning that thing loose in a society where there should be boundaries and I respect what somebody else has, then it moves on into some things where I can easily say I want what they had. And you know, this isn't something new for 2015. When I look back at King Ahab, when he just looked over, I saw my own vineyards look so well, but I looked across the fence. And he didn't want the whole world. He just wanted what was on the other side of his fence. But it was Nabal's. And he did not want to give it away. So here comes covetous, but it didn't stop there. Because I believe God knew that if you don't take care of this one, it's going to move into some other areas. And now, as a society that says we don't want to claim that the Ten Commandments could help us out, we've got to try to figure out. We got a problem. We're going to have to address it. How we're going to do it? Oh, we got it figured out. We figured it out a couple years ago. We need to ban the assault rifle. If we can ban the assault rifle, we've solved those problems, because the assault rifle was used in some of those killings. I want to tell you, what we need to do is go back to the law of God and build it back into our system. Because I tell you what, you can take away all guns. There wasn't an assault rifle there when Cain met up with Abel. You can kill him with a stick or with a stone or whatever if it's in your heart. And so God went and dealt with the problem with some laws for us to follow. As a society, as an individual, for us to be able to build those into our lives. There has been a verse that I've been thinking about, and I know that God intended it for his chosen people, but I believe it belongs to all mankind. It's in Jeremiah 2 and 13. It says, "My people have committed two evils. They rejected the fountain of living water, what God had intended for them." And I'd like for us today to think about the laws that he has put in place for me. It's really a fountain of living water. And you know, when we reject that, they didn't just stop there. They didn't just say, you know what, I need to get rid of, I don't want this way, but you're going to build some other because we all need some water. They rejected me, the fountain of living water. But then it says they built themselves, they hewn them out cisterns. I'm going to come up with my own way to deal with this problem. America today is doing that same thing. They're rejecting the fountain of living water, the laws of God that will be a protection, a boundary for us all, is being rejected. The Ten Commandments were intended for us to be able to live peaceably with each other in a group, no matter how big it gets. God realized that way back there with the children of Israel going to be crossing together as a group. You think about how important those were to a million people crossing over there. He's given them some directions, some boundaries for themselves to follow. King Saul, you know, we can say, well, that'll never affect me. I wouldn't go to the point our nation is going to and rejecting the commandments of the Lord. But you know what? It can happen in some small areas. Because King Saul, when he was given instruction of what to do to kill all the Amalekites, he went out and he almost 100% obeyed. But you remember what was given to him? To obey is better than sacrifice. It's better for me to take the law of God just like it says it. Don't try to adjust it and say, well, I did these, so this one won't matter. For me to take and embrace God's law throughout the scripture from the beginning to the end. There are a lot of things that are happening today in America that you won't find the name of it in the Bible. You won't find instruction of what to do with the internet. But I tell you what, you will find a principle that will apply before the internet ever came about. It will apply to our life. There will be things that will put boundaries in our life. God's law is so important, and embracing it is so important. Song number 121. Because not just embracing it, but we're going to have to obey it. And I think about this verse. I'd like for us to sing it together. By thy blessed word obeying, Lord, we prove our love sincere. For we hear thee gently saying, love will do as well as here. Dear Redeemer, we would hallow all thy words so firm and true. In thy footsteps meekly follow, thy commands we love to do. Fainted hearts thy name professing, thy commandments cast aside. But we feel thy great salvation, and in all thy truth abide. Dear Redeemer, we would hallow all thy words so firm and true. In thy footsteps meekly follow, thy commands we love to do. Each commandment thou hast given is a way mark on the road, leading up from earth to heaven, to the blessed throne of God. Dear Redeemer, we would hallow all thy words
so firm and true. In thy footsteps meekly follow, thy commands we love to do.
Psalms 1 and 1, there's a blessing to the man that makes some choices in the right direction. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, it talks about don't chafe when thou art corrected. When the Lord shows us another law and shows us, you know, the day that we get saved, we don't have it all. The Lord one day will show us another area in our life that we need to make an adjustment. When we heard about the rich young ruler, and when he came to the Lord, he had been obeying all of the Ten Commandments. And the Lord comes along because Jesus has now brought a different law. He doesn't just go off the Ten Commandments, but he goes off of what's inside the heart. Because he said, you've heard that it's been said, don't kill. But I tell you what, if you have hatred in your heart, you're in trouble. And that's the way with us today. It's not just for me to look and say, I've obeyed these places. But God will come along and say, here's something that is not even a sin to other people. He told the rich young ruler, you're looking for heaven. If you want to be able to make it, go home and sell everything you have, because he could see where the heart was attached. He never made that a restriction to other people and just made it a blanket statement. If you're going to be a Christian, you can own nothing. What he does is he knows for me and for you. So it's more than just let me find the laws and I'm obeying the Ten Commandments. But it is, Lord, as you lead me, as you show me, and I want to tell you, that's where it'll take care of technology. When something, and I'll tell you, just not too long ago, I started hearing about these things of the beheadings and stuff overseas. And I have this smartphone, so I started getting hung up on the news. I would, through the day, check it. Did they kill him yet? You know, they said they was going to do it yesterday evening. Did he yet? To where I was constantly checking. Until the point came that I was spending so much time just wanting to find out what's happening in the news. And this is for me. The Lord said, I tell you what, close that down. And I decided, you know what, for 1 week, I just won't even check the news. In fact, if there's anything like World War III coming, they're going to tell me when I get to work. Somebody's going to inform me there's been a serious something happened. And so I just shut it off. And you know what it says? Great peace have they. Folks, there's some things that can bring peace into our life. We can say there is turmoil in the world around us. I want to tell you, I can hook myself to it and be part of the problem. Or I can have peace. Jesus said, I've got a peace that the world cannot give you. And part of that is for me cutting loose from the things around me that destroy my peace. So I want to finish up with just a few more verses in Psalms 119 and 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. Number 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words, does it bring a resistance? Oh, here's another law. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And then 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. One more song I'd like for us to look at, 334. In this time of a lot of things shaken, there's a guide for the Christian. There's a guide that'll take us home, and it won't change. It won't shift this year or next year. It won't take a poll and see if 95% of America says we need to change this law. It'll be unsettled till God comes back. Says 334, when the earth shall cease to be and the heavens pass away, the unchanging word of God we'll see, it's going to be just as it is today. Says, since the morn when time began, hath his word ceased to prevail? Is the God of heaven weak as man, or can his promise fail? What are some of the promises of the Lord? I've got one that I'd like to share. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know, we love that the promises are unchanging. The Word of God, His laws are also unchanging. It says, on the Word of God, I can calmly rest with a sweet assurance in my breast, for I know it is His holy will, each promise to fulfill. He has promised to give us peace in 2015. There are some requirements to be able to have that peace. We need to be checking for the things that destroy my peace and move away from those things. In His law doth he meditate day and night. And there were some benefits that came to that man. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's kind of hard for us to think about drought. Today, we're flooded. Everything's so wet, you can't walk out in the yard without sinking in it. But there were times of drought when they would say, don't water your yard. You'll get a fine if you water your yard in town. We are so dry. This man says when it's drought all around him, when people around him are dried up, he's tapped into that living water that so many people had rejected. My people have committed two evils. First of all, they forsook me, the living water, the fountain of living water. And when we do it, we'll try to build something to get our own water, but it won't last. I want the peace that God has to give me, and we can everyone have it this year. I thank God for it. Pray for me.